This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. For this Holy Week, the last week of the Lenten season in Christian calendar. This week is going to be a week of prayer for every one of us. It's going to be a week of meditating on the Word. It's going to be a week of showing love to all those around us. We've always done this, but we do this particularly because it is the kind of week in which we should experience and make people experience what it means to be a Christian. This morning I'll be sharing with us briefly on what it means to triumph. If you look at the Christian calendar, you'll see that today is the Palm Sunday. Usually on a Palm Sunday, we commemorate the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem when everybody began to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna basically means the Lord our help. But beyond that, the riding of Jesus into Jerusalem was a triumphant expression of the sovereignty of God's will. Jesus said a few days before he rode into Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, you are known to be prophet killer. Historically, you are the one that slaughtered prophets, that killed all the men of God. Any man of God that comes close to you dies." He said, "I won't come to you again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus spoke forth his victory. He spoke forth this reality, this ride into Jerusalem. Jesus basically prophesied it long before the day that people began to react to the word of prophecy. This is the key to triumph. This is the key to prophecy fulfillment. This is the key to your victory. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will learn basically that Jesus did not just, like many Christians do nowadays, would not just wake up in the morning and pray and say, "Father, I'm hoping to have a good day. Or, Father, let my day be good as I go. Don't let me have accidents. Don't let the..." There was an expression they used to use when I was young. "Don't let me go out on the road on the day the road wish vanish," or something like that. Meaning that the day the road wants to suck blood, don't let me go out. And all those kind of expressions in which religious people strive are not how to become victorious. The mouth of a religious man is always full of excuses and lamentations. Religious people, even though they serve God faithfully, they do not understand what it means to triumph. Triumph is led by decisive use of authority. A man that will win a battle is a man that can outthink the enemy. A man that will win a battle is a man that can outmaneuver the enemy. A man that will win a battle is a man that has outprepared the enemy. I say this with all emphasis on all spiritual principles that you know, and all spiritual principles that you know. I say this to you that oftentimes Christians want to pray, but they do not understand what it means to gain victory through their art of preparation or preparing the way ahead. Jesus understood this. So Jesus will speak a thing forth, and then by the time he gets to the point, that thing will have happened and he will just sit up and enjoy the fruits of it. The power of his declarations are legendary. He will sit down somewhere and he will say, oh, go to that city. You will find somebody that has a cult that has not been ridden. Tell them to untie it and bring it. If anybody challenges you, tell them the master has need of it. You see, when he speaks like that, it is not magic. It was because he had seen the cult. When he was walking past, it is the truth. He had seen it. He didn't see it in a vision. He had seen a cult die down, like me walking into a city, and then I saw a car. This has happened to me before. And then I saw a car that I like. And in my head, I was thinking, oh, I really would like to take a ride in that car. I like that car a lot. And then I get to the hotel where I was supposed to sleep. And I get there, I was sleeping. Then the people that are going to bring me to the church where I was supposed to minister came. And then they said, Brother, how are you doing? Oh, are you fine? Have you rested? I said, I've done so. And then they said, oh, we are coming to pick you by 6 p.m. We just wanted to know the time you're coming. And I said, okay, no problem. And then by the time it was 6 p.m., I came down. And then the car waiting for me downstairs was the same car that I thought about when I was coming into the city. I was like, I've not ridden in this car before. I wish to take a ride in this car. Just offhand thinking. And it was the same car, the same brand, everything that they brought to pick me to the... And I was sitting in it, I was thinking, Jesus did this. Jesus actually just understood the secret of victory, the secret of triumph. His mouth was never quiet. He understood the things he wanted. He spoke them forth relentlessly. Even his own death. He did not allow any other counsel to prevail beyond his own counsel. He spoke first the reality, the truth of the reality of who he is. As a believer today, I'm encouraging you to begin to think of your victory laps and to begin to speak them forth. Let there be conviction in your word when you speak. Where I found myself today as a person is as a result of the words of my mouth. I will say this anytime, any day, anywhere, that the more you put your words to work and the more your words begin to give you results, the more you continue, you persist in it. In your secret place, in your rooms, in your offices, in that your small business, you tell your small business, you said, you this agricultural business, you are going to feed the world. It may not look at it when you are saying things like that, but you see, your words are extremely powerful. They are the seed of life. They are the secret to your victory. If a man will lose a battle, he must first lose it with his own words. When you hear people say, I'm not better than my father's. It's time for me to go home. I'm tired. See, they are tired. The day Elijah said that to God, you know what God responded? God didn't say, Elijah, was I not with you? Have I not been protecting you? Did I not hide you in Zarephath? Did I not hide you from those who wanted to kill you that time? Did I not? God, you know, if it's a husband and a wife, when the wife wants to give up, husband will say, my dear, but I won't be there for you. Why are you talking like this? Are you saying I don't care? What about that time? What about that time? What about that time? What about that time? The husband will remind the wife of 20, 30 instances when he had been there for her in critical times. The wife can do the same to the husband. God does not do it to us. Go and read your Bible. God does not do it to anybody. That God will come to you and say, I was with you. Did I not follow you? God will never. Once you tell the Lord, I'm tired. Go and come. Get with GSW. GSW is never tired. GSW will always say, let's go there. Let's do it. Oh yeah, get me Jesus. Yeah, I want people that can talk my talk. Oh, yeah. Hand over to him. And everything, just hand it over to me. Oh yeah, go come and be coming home. That was exactly what God did to Elijah. Elijah just finished his battle amongst camel, and it was supposed to be reveling in the victory. Then he got a letter. Not even soldiers. He got a letter from somebody who came from Jezebel. And the person, Jezebel, said, the same way you killed the prophet, the same way you triumphed over the prophet, I will triumph over you. This was words. Right? Jezebel threw a missile of words. What have I been teaching you all morning about triumphing with your words? Jezebel used the same principle. Use words that I will do. If she can do it, why didn't she do it that moment? Why didn't she dare to send all those people that will kill this guy or that will finish him? Why didn't she send them at that time? Why send the letter first? It is what the enemy does to many Christians. Choose the word first. Once you chose the word first and your faith is shaking, it triumphs. You too use the same principle. You chose the word first. When you chose the word first, you shake, you triumph. And then it becomes a battle of words. However, there are empty words and there are willful words. Don't forget what I call them, willful. That means words that are backed by a strong will that cannot be shaken easily. There are empty words. Some people will be saying, I can never have been sick, but they don't believe it. In fact, in their heart, they are already sick. They are just doing the confession. It's my enemy that will be sick. The doctor said it is my enemy that has fiber. The doctor said my enemy has headache. Those who are talking like that, they already believe they have it. You see? But if you see a man or woman who is willful, the doctor is talking, he's telling the doctor, God, forget it. You are not talking to me. No, no, no. The doctor will say, hey, you have to face this. Doctor will keep quiet. And not be rude. He just didn't want the enemy to triumph over him with words. Because words are the key to triumph. So the moment Elijah read the note, Elijah said, I'm no better than my fathers. I want to die. You know what God said? God said, go to town. Pick for me three characters. Just like that. Like God's journey with Elijah was done. Like, you are done with, I'm done with you. Get me fresh blood. Get me Elijah. Get me Elisha. Get me Jehu. Get me Azael. I meant the three of them. This one will be a prophet. This one will be king over Samaria. And this one will be king over Syria. And between the three of them, I would execute my judgment in the next generation. Elijah was so tired that it was only one of them he anointed. Elijah anointed just Elisha. So tired did not mean that it's like I don't move or that the sands cannot move. You will notice that after he anointed Elisha, he still lived another 4 to 5 years, grooming that young man into a prophet. And yet, he did not fulfill the two other instructions that God gave him, because by that time, he had recovered. You see, he had recovered strength. He didn't want to die anymore. So he didn't do the last two because he didn't want to die anymore. He had recovered. But he had spoken out of turn, and therefore, in God's calendar, his season was over. You must learn how to win in your words. This doesn't stop you from thinking properly, making decisions as you ought to. So I'm not an advocate of telling people, oh, don't use your brain. Just be making declaration. No, please, by all means, you have been given the ability to think. The reason God gave you the ability to think is so that you can take critical decisions. You have also been given the ability to execute your decisions to give you the best possible outcome for your life at all times. At the same time, you've been given the power of words. Your reputation should be the kind of reputation that even in the realm of the spirit, they know when you speak that your words are loaded. That when you say, hold it, I am coming, nothing can change it. You will have been practicing this deliberately from your closet over issues. You do this mainly by ensuring that even in the physical, when you say a thing, you mean it. Let me say that again. Somebody who will tell you, I'm coming by 12, but we're not sure by 12. Who will tell you, I'm coming by 2, we're not sure by 2. Who will ask him, what are you having for breakfast? He will say rice, but actually it is beans. You will ask him, where are you going when you live here? He will say you're going to the bank, but he's not going to the bank, he's going somewhere else. Somebody whose words in the physical does not align, spiritually his words also will not align. That was why Jesus Christ said that to yes be yes and let your no be no. Those who lie a lot do not have miracles. No matter how much they speak in tongues, no matter how much they fast, the reason is because their words are not consistent. You know what the Bible said about the first son, no, this is the second son of Jacob. Jacob said, unstable as water, you will not prosper. Unstable means somebody that has a volatile nature, who is unstable, whose words cannot be depended on or trusted. Somebody who will tell you, oh, daddy, I'm going out. By the time he comes back, he has killed 300 people. Yeah, but you didn't tell me. Said no, I just got angry. People like that, God cannot give them authority in their words. Somebody that if you provoke him, next thing he begins to curse. How can God give you authority so that you kill everybody with your words, right? Because you do not have the ability to temper, to put your temper in control, in check. All these things. So people will fast. They pray. They will say, God does not answer my prayer. But God answers my own. I guarantee that God answers my prayer. God does not just answer them. He answers them well. Like, evidently, effortlessly, with full regalia of glory. God answers my prayer. And I do not stress to get my prayer answered as many people. And I don't try to live a holy life as many people claim. I don't. I just live my life. But in that life, I realized that certain principles of the spirit, when you follow them, you are going to being spiritually minded. It's not a hard thing. You know, unlike when religious people will say, fast for 40 days. It's a lie. Those who fast for 40 days don't have the kind of result that I have. They should just go and sit down. It's a lie. I've tried that path. It doesn't work. Being spiritually minded means just living your life as simply as the way Jesus lived it. When you make a mistake, accept it. When you hurt anybody, apologize. Don't be heady. Don't say, there's no need. All these unnecessary struggles, you do not need them. There's nothing. Your ego is your worst enemy. In fact, your ego is the devil. Just put your ego aside. That's the truth. If anybody is in your circle and the person is like a poison to you, remove the person. Don't be sentimental. If somebody is in your circle, it's a blessing to you. Keep the person. Keep your blessings close. Keep those who are not blessings to you far from you. And don't do it with bitterness of heart. Don't say, we are going to be keeping malice. No. Just live your life. Those who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord shall go to his holy place, the one who has a clean hand and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. See, these things are in the scriptures. The words of your mouth, consistent. You don't swear deceitfully. You try as much as possible to keep your environment clean. It doesn't mean you will not maybe do something wrong. When you do something wrong, forgive yourself quickly. I mean it. But be so lenient to yourself that people would think that something is wrong with you. Be so lenient with yourself. Why? Because God has already forgiven you. your whatever you do wrong is not an issue with God. It may be an issue with men. That's their cup of tea, their headache. But anybody you offend, apologize to the person. If you have to write a mail, write a mail. If you have to text, text. If you have to call, call. But once you have apologized, forgive yourself. Do not hold on to any negative nonsense for more than 3 or 2 minutes. Because your life is a worthy life. Your life is a holy and precious life. And God has given you this life that you may live it to the best of your ability. So somebody saying that I wronged somebody 3 years ago. No matter what you did, it's true. If you are driving and you basically kill somebody's child, don't do hit and run. Apologize. Whatever they say you should pay in court, pay it and then forgive yourself. I know somebody that a child crawled under a car in K2. She didn't know anything. She went to church. After church, she got in her car. She was going home. The woman that was selling what have you by the roadside had a baby, left the baby, didn't care for her baby. Baby crawled under the car. How would she have known? She started the car. She moved the car. Car killed baby. That woman has not driven for 15 years. After that day, she parked. Her husband had too many cars. She parked. She didn't get a driver. She stopped driving. She started taking buses. The husband started trying to talk to her. What is wrong with you? How can you be going about your mind? And the husband is a big pastor with one of the big churches. What is wrong? People will think I'm not taking care of you. They have a car. Says, okay, take care and driver. No. Then, no. She was giving herself penance. Husband left her last. That's the truth. Their family has seen me. They are still very close to me. The husband left her. Husband said, you cannot deal with somebody who cannot move on. Every time they are talking, she's always referring to it. It was a blot. Forgive yourself, no matter what it is. If you have stumbled, yes, you have. Forgive yourself. Say, okay, GSW, you did this, you did bad. But yeah, drop it. Father, thank you because I received the gift of forgiveness and mercy at the throne. This matter is closed. And then close it and walk away from it. This is the way of a Christian. No Christian should have been given the right to linger on in any negative atmosphere or toxic atmosphere that will pollute his spirit in the name of what? What did you do? Did you kill Jesus? So when your prayers are not answered, it's as a result of so many factors. But the way to get triumph is through your words. If your words will align with your thoughts, and your thoughts will align with your imagination, and you will keep your hands clean. Keep your hands clean here, don't forget. Doesn't mean you don't do anything wrong. If you do something wrong, accept it. Take responsibility. Own it. Ask for forgiveness and move on. You have already been pre-forgiven. So when you ask for forgiveness, you are acknowledging that I did wrong. I acknowledge it. I'm going to do better going forward. Then move on. And then begin to produce the fruit, the result of the fruit of the Spirit. Peter couldn't move on after he betrayed Jesus. Bible said that he betrayed Jesus and then he felt as if he has lost his worth. He felt as if he has lost who he was in Christ. He felt as if he has lost his place. If you look at the book of John, you will see the effort that it took for Peter's restoration. It wasn't necessary. I promise you it wasn't. But because Peter was like many of us, who would do something wrong and will never let matters rest or go. The Bible said Jesus had to come back to the Sea of Tiberias. Had to call Peter 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Did you notice that Jesus did not say, Peter, I forgive you? Did you notice that Jesus did not say, Peter, I forgive you for denying me? Did you notice? Go and read your Bible, John chapter 20. Jesus did not say, I forgive you, Peter. Because Peter had been forgiven. Jesus Christ said, I have prayed for you. Even before Peter did what he did, Jesus Christ said, I have prayed for you. So the prayer of Jesus has already covered him. But after he did the thing Jesus Christ said he would do, he couldn't move on. He kept losing confidence. He kept sitting, wallowing in it. He kept crying, weeping. Jesus said, oh my, okay, I have to do something for this guy. So Jesus came and said, come and sit down. Then he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. Tend my lamb. He started with the lamb. Then he said, feed my sheep. Then he said, feed my sheep 3 times to restore him back to his rightful place. because he had been forgiven, but he didn't forgive himself. This is how people lose out of God's plan. When God has forgiven you and you refuse to move on, drop it. You don't need ash clothes. You don't need ashes. God is not interested in such things anymore. Once you acknowledge that you have done wrong, you ask for, then you move. This is the way victory works. When soldiers are marching in a war, they have a target. If anybody fall, the whole company of soldiers will not wait. They will continue to move. They will continue to move. It is up to the person that fell to stand up quickly, dust himself, and join back the ranks. Otherwise, they will leave him behind. They will, because they are moving in the rank. And so if you fall off, your duty is to get back on your feet and join them. The whole company will not wait. I've never seen the Church of Jesus Christ wait for one falling soldier before that. Oh, this general did something wrong. No church until he gets back on his feet. Have you ever seen it before? The church will continue to move. It is up to that person to get back on his feet and get back on the saddle. It is how you gain victory. You forgive yourself quickly. In fact, it is a lack of faith that makes a Christian not to forgive himself. It shows that you do not have faith in the complete work of the cross. You must understand this. So, in this week, as you look at the life of Jesus and you look at the life of those around him, you will see how the words of Jesus transformed their lives. You will see how Jesus Christ blessed all of us in John chapter 17, blessed disciples in John 16, and everything he said about them came to pass. You will see how Jesus Christ's words were so real and powerful that till today they still held sway, including his promise of the Holy Spirit that came in Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ spoke everything forth. You must learn how to speak things forth. You must learn how to make your words align so that you are not like a snake that has double tongue. It was Sister Jessica that was teaching us one day that told us that Jesus Christ gave her an analogy that anybody that is double tongue is like a serpent, and therefore the person's words are not hold sway. And I learned a lot from that teaching. Don't have a double tongue. Let your tongue be single. Let your eye be single. If you do anything that you think is below par, forgive yourself, move on. Move on and continue to march with the ranks. Don't allow yourself to wallow too long in one place, that the whole company that you are supposed to march with to fulfill destiny will leave you behind. This is very important. Finally, as we begin to round off for today, it is very important that you envision where you are going, and that you envision all the help that will come to you on the way there. So you may not have all the resources, but you know that at one point in this business proposal, I will need a partner. At one point in this business proposal, I will need an investor. At one point in this business proposal, I will need a foreign investor. At one point in this business proposal, I will go to China. You already see it. And then you begin to call those stages spots. Now you are at the starting point where you are raising cash. But you know that this is not the end of the day. As my business grows, I call forth my partner. I prepare my partner ahead. When the moment for the partner to come shall arrive, it will not be a stress for me. When the moment for me to get my visa to travel shall arrive, on this business, it will not be a problem. When I need angel investors, they will come in by the part. You begin. So because you have a vision, you can easily speak forth your tomorrow and prepare your tomorrow with your words. Jesus did this effortlessly. He mapped out the whole of his life, the whole of his work, the whole of his ministry, the whole of his reality. He mapped them out with the words of his mouth. Awesome Jesus. Awesome, awesome. The kind of things he showed us and did. Awesome. 3 years of ministry. From day one, he began to speak, he began to talk, he began to determine, he began to frame. That's why the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 3:11, it said God framed the whole world with the word of his power. So you know that we frame reality with the words of power, with the words that come out of our mouth is how we frame reality. So please don't say negative things about your life, because that is the reality you are framing. As you go to authorities today, I declare you blessed. I declare that you are triumphant. I declare that the words you have heard from my mouth are decisive in helping you grow, and that they produce great results in your destiny. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are blessed of the Lord. and that the blessings of the Lord in your life are not hidden or obscure. They are evident for the world to see. I declare that the glory of Israel is speaking in you, and that your life is a life of triumph. Thank you, Father, for all your children are thought of you, and great is our peace. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.